need to tell you guys about a cool new playground that got installed in our local area.
Oh, snap.
The last one was pretty cool, but I guess the county found money somewhere, and they outdid themselves with making this park. Okay. It has one of those things where the park, the main jungle gym part of it is like, I think, maybe two and a half stories tall, essentially.
What?
It's huge. It is so much fun. And it's one of those things where it's like, to get to the top, you have to be able to like climb like a bigger kid. So like little kids can't get up there easy enough. You know what I mean? It's
one of those. So little kids have to climb on the backs of bigger kids.
That is correct. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. They can use that. They can use them as you know, stepping stones. Yeah.
Got it.
But there's
stop looking for excuses to climb over me.
There are a bunch of like spinny things. There's an even like inlaid like merry-go-round thing where it's like it's just a big open like rail, but like the actual merry-go-round part of it is in the ground, so that way it's like, you know, level. And boy,
do kids still get flung off?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. I don't see any problems,
right? But now they don't fall to the ground. Now they don't fall to the ground, they just kind of get shunted off next to it. So it happened a number of times while I was doing it because the kids were like, go faster, and I was like, all right. And it's hilarious. I love it. There's even like a toddler zone, which is cool because the little kids, the, you know, toddlers can like run around and everything, and the ground's real soft. They did it great. It was it's so much fun, and I love it, and now taking all the kids to it is great. Hannah, however, showed me something that happened on the local area's Facebook page.
Uh-oh.
In which there was just a picture of it.
Nothing ever good happens on those pages.
Nope, not usually. This, however, was hilarious. And she just showed me a picture of it, and I'm like, yeah, it's the new park, like the new playground set. And she was like, no, look. And I look, and there's a kid on the top of the two-story tall...
No.
Yes.
So, on the outside.
On the outside, yes.
Oh, my.
So he climbed up. He must have climbed up via the slide or, you know, found some foothold or something to get up there. And he's up
kids
there.
Find
and
a way.
It is a peak. I mean, it's not like a flat surface. Gosh. It is a peak up there. And then you see a bunch of dads around, you know, in like various areas where the kid might fall.
Oh, my gosh.
And then the funniest part is the comments are just like, well, boys will be boys.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not wrong.
I bet some square is going to go try and put like bars on it or something so they can't climb out. Don't do that. Let them fall.
They did put up like a barrier on top of the slide so that way you can't get up the slide like on, if you climb on the outside, but you can only get up like 6 feet and then it's like an impassable wall for now. Impassable for now, I should say. But yeah, that's I just love it that it's just like, we can make a cool thing, and then some kid just does something, and it's just like, well.
Like, how old did the kid look? Like, 10 years
must
old
have been, I don't know, 5, 6 or something like that.
No.
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds like a worst nightmare of mine.
I mean, that makes sense. It's like when you make a game or something and people break it, like, pretty easily by exploiting codes. It's, kids will do that. They'll be like, how do I get up there? And then they'll
figure
your way.
Did they have to, like, have a fire department?
Oh, to, like, to bring the fire department in to rescue him?
Yeah, how did the kid get down?
I don't know.
Probably just fell.
I don't know if he did. He might still be up there.
So he might still be
he's
up
still
there.
Up there to this day.
Whoa.
They just throw cheeseburgers.
I really liked the old park. The new park is definitely nice, but I think I know that the state makes you replace playgrounds after a certain amount of time.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So
they get a little dangerous.
That one had been up there for a while, even though it was like in great condition. I liked that old park. I thought it was.
I remember
sick.
When they changed it, like years and years and years ago, and yeah, everyone was super happy with it, and I didn't think it was even that like bad. But right. I guess
it's
like
not.
You said,
it's just state regulations.
Yeah, because if you think about it too, it's like, you know, after 10 years or whatever, it's like, one, the condition of things has probably changed. Different rules and safety regulations are probably in place and stuff like that. And so they keep it updated, and also to keep it fresh, because, you know, I can say before that, I don't know how many people were going to that park, But now that thing is flooded all the time with kids. And I'm just like, awesome. That's great. I like seeing that.
Back in my day, we had these wooden parks that were wood with pressure-treated wood. They would leach off carcinogens into the playground.
Now they're telling us we can't even have asbestos in the mulch.
Asbestos in the mulch, carcinogens in the wood, and oil would leach off of the tire swings.
And now they have all these no-smoking signs. Jesus.
Listen, it's been a minute, but you all know Route 18. They had that park or there. I don't know if it's still there. I haven't been in that section in a while. But I remember that slide was like basically a piece of sheet metal.
Oh my
God. Going down.
Yeah.
And that thing during the summer was basically a pan in the oven. It was just blistering.
Back in my days, we used to bring the eggs out there and cook our breakfast.
No longer having metal slides is probably the one really solid improvement to playgrounds. Metal slides in the summer were not great.
But you see, you could cook your eggs at the top and then slide them down to everybody at the bottom. Yeah.
But that's the thing, is that like I think about that, I'm like, did nobody go, wait, metal gets really, really hot in the summertime. And then,
you know, we call those people, Jake, we call them pussies.
That's why back in my day we had the wooden slides. You just get 3 or 4 splinters.
But you talking about the wooden jungle gyms, Tim, there have been some parks that I've been to where it's like it's completely made of wood, you know, save for like some of the railings and stuff like that, you know, chains. But like, mm-hmm. they make them look like castles, and it's awesome.
Yes. Yeah. That was a very specific company that they would go into the community and they would crowd source ideas for what the playground would look like. The company would then drop the plans and the parents would source the wood and then build it themselves.
What?
Yep. Yeah,
wait, really so the dope. Company wouldn't even build anything?
No, they just drew up the plans. It made it really cost effective for communities to like spring up parks over
like a
weekend.
Sounds like a great way to make money doing nothing.
I mean, the amount of engineering.
They had architectural designs.
Yeah, I was
like,
going to say that's
safe and stuff.
I know from experience, that's expensive.
Yeah, it was cheap. It's like, I don't know, a couple thousand for the plans or something.
Yeah,
those were the parks that they had used all like the weather-treated lumber, so they were like leaching chemicals and stuff. So,
dude, I need to look at this company. That sounds awesome. I want to work for them.
this dude was just doing a deep dive on old playgrounds from the 80s. It's pretty sick.
Please share that because I want to do that.
Also, all the kids were also sick.
The kids were also sick. But those are the carcinogens making them sick.
Oh shit, speaking of carcinogens, what are you thinking about Taco State Park where the tire
park, yep.
Yeah, the tire park when everyone's like, just make sure you wash your hands.
That is now my top, probably my top 5 ways to start a conversation. Oh, speaking about carcinogens.
Yeah.
That park is still there. I wonder how they get away with it. That park's so goddamn old.
That one's really old.
It's never been updated. It's just wood and tires.
I genuinely bet you would have a lot of people upset if they tried to update that park.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a fun park. Old Tuckahoe State Park. That park's been that way for 50 years.
He just shred up tractor tires, and that's fine.
There is a really cool like dragon tire serpent like in that park.
Oh, yeah,
it's really cool.
But did they even repaint it? I know the paint was like shredding from it.
Probably. they probably could just give it a fresh coat.
It's old lead paint. It sticks better than the new acrylic stuff.
Well, they used the tire stuff, which was cool because it was, you know, they're not going to reuse that stuff. And then it was supposed to make like the ground softer. I don't know if you've ever fallen on that, but it maybe helps. You still got the wind knocked out of you though if you fall on something.
Better than hard packed dirt.
Yep. you fall and just. And then at times I'd have my dad was like, breathe, breathe, breathe.
You're like, I can't.
Build the character. Kicks you again.
Oh, man. Well, nothing stopped. You guys. What was my transition? Hold on.
Nothing stopped you guys from going on the playground.
You know where they have tire parks?
There's got to be a tire park in Kovlar. Where all the bullets
today. Yeah. All the oil down here. Wait, rubber trees.
maybe kids all play in the farm burrow with all the mushrooms and stuff.
Yeah, some mutated at each mushrooms.
The slide's made out of scrap metal. I mean, it's fine.
Years and years ago, we played at this playground that was at a local school, and our group of friends, and the playground was mulched with pebbles, and we would constantly just throw pebbles at each other. Just rock fight.
John, that's amazing.
Good old rock fights.
Dude, yep. They were the best.
Being a kid is great.
So it's always really fun, and you don't think anything can go wrong until you get hit in the forehead.
For some reason, the parents start yelling at us a lot. For some reason, I don't get it. Yeah,
we threw dirt clods. So, you know, just nice, good old pieces so they explode when they hit you, except if they're packed too hard. And then
too hard, and they're, you know.
Once you have like kids, the rock fights become a lot less fun.
Yeah.
you do eventually get it.
Speak for yourself, Kelly. My son's won 3 rock fights.
I'm sure those kids' parents loved that he won.
Your kids just suck. Your kid should get good.
Yeah, has your kid tried ever?
Well, all I'm saying is that he hasn't had any more rock fights, but we also haven't seen any more kids in the parks anymore.
Really opened up the space.
Tim just teaches his kids hunter's aim. So he's just like, all right.
Spend one action. Right there.
Well, we ended the last episode with you guys recovering from rescuing all these slaves from this hidden forge below the wall of Kovlar. And after you guys have rescued the slaves, and you got some cool new items. In fact, I think, Tim, we had talked about the new rune that you got. I don't know if you want to talk about that.
Yeah, I'll take any opportunity I can to talk about my sick gear.
Yeah.
Yeah, so as the listeners know, today is kind of like our shopping day.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of, you know, did a lot of stuff, sold a lot of stuff, and I gave over the Warhammer, the Adamantine Warhammer. It was already a +2 striking. And I had the rune of Impactful transferred over from the Morningstar. And then I added a new rune because I had a rune voucher.
Mm-hmm.
And as if he is still clinging to his Warpriest past, it has the Holy Rune on it. And it is a Holy Rune of Torag.
Ah, little Torag.
Little Torag dip. Gorm's dead, you know, so.
he's not.
I like my gods alive.
Okay. Stop saying Gorm's dead.
Tim, spoilers.
Scaring all the dwarves.
Yeah, every time Garn mentions it, everyone just kind of gives him a weird look. Like, all right, old man, Gorm's dead.
And so, holy will become extremely useful if you guys ever fight undead, because
I don't know if we ever will fight undead.
In the undead city, probably not.
Yeah, maybe not, but it's there.
What's cool about the Holy Rune is that it gives you a flat d4 of spirit damage, so it doesn't matter like the type of creature that you fight, you get that d4. The fun is that if you do fight unholy creatures, then you get 2d4 extra damage. And then it has also a special property when you crit, which is that you can trigger it once per day, and I gain hit points equal to double the unholy creature's level.
Oh, wow.
Which is just so freaking sick.
Yeah, so if you crit, you know, like against the boss, oh my gosh. I mean... Yeah, even assuming, because I mean, you guys are clearly going against creatures that are, you know, creature level 10 and up. I mean, that's at least 20 hit points.
Oh, yeah. That's like 10% of my hit points. Like, yeah. easy, and that's just for the base level creatures.
Yeah,
like, and I could get like 25% of my hit points restored. In, like,
exactly,
one
and
go.
I mean, and that's on a reaction if mm-hmm. you crit. Yep. So yeah.
Yeah, wait, that means I have to roll good.
Exactly.
And, like, Holy is probably one of the least resisted damages in the game, which I was just thinking about. It's like, if you ever go up against an enemy and the DM has to tell you, yeah, they're immune to Holy damage, you're probably fighting the wrong thing.
You brought the wrong character. We'll see you with your new character.
You're pretty much fighting an angel at that point.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so I mean, with him turning in his rune pawn, rune coupon, he now just has this like holy glowing Warhammer, and we'll see if that that's relevant or not, you know. Hmm. But at the very end of the episode, you guys had decided to set up wards to know if anybody was coming and going in and out of the Hidden Forge. And Sandor, you were at the tunnel part of it, where it just seemed to go almost endlessly just into the dark. I want to fade in on that for a second, because while you're staring there into the darkness of this tunnel, the camera seems to shift a little bit, and the tunnel looks similar but different, and we realize we're in a different place now. But it's sort of bringing you back to a moment. The camera slowly fades in on the mouth of the tunnel. Its jagged stone walls framed by clusters of softly glowing violet fungi. We are deep beneath the surface of Galarian, where the earth itself seems to press inward. Beyond the gentle glow, the darkness doesn't simply hide what lies ahead. It feels alive, absorbing all life in the area. The passage remains motionless, long enough for the silence to become unsettling. Then, finally, a sound. Faint at first, barely more than a whisper, echoing down the emptiness of the stone hallway. Scrape. Silence. Scrape. Again. Slow, rhythmic, metal slinking against rock. With each passing moment, the sound grows louder, crawling out of the darkness toward us. At last, a figure steps into the dim purple light. Our perspective remains low, fixed at ground level. Something we didn't really have the ability to see, like where we were at first. But we see heavy greaves emerge out of the darkness, followed by the stout frame of a Hringar. A massive warhammer hangs at his hip. His gait is deliberate, almost military in design. Each step is measured and unhurried. As he passes beyond our view, the source of the scraping reveals itself. A length of black iron chain. Link after link drags across the rough stone floor, disappearing back into the darkness from which the Hringar came. The chain continues and continues. Then, finally, a figure appears. A human. Head lowered, shoulders slumped. Another follows, this time an elf, then a dwarf, then another, and another one. A procession of broken souls stretches into the darkness, each prisoner bound to the next. Their bodies are emaciated, leaving little for the imagination of who they once were, weeks or even years ago. Their clothes are little more than rags. Bruises and scars decorate their body. Some shuffle forward with vacant eyes. Others seem to move only because the chain refuses to let them stop in panic. The line disappears into the black behind them, long enough that its end cannot be seen. The leading Hringar stops. There is a fork in the tunnel, and the look on his face says he did not anticipate it at all.
Sandor!
He calls down the line. A somewhat familiar Hringar walks up the line of slaves to meet the leading slaver.
Yes, Grimdvik.
This crossing tunnel is not supposed to be here. Explain this.
We could have gotten things mixed up. It's hard to tell.
And he glares at him for a second.
How do I know you didn't lead us in the wrong direction?
Well, you have to trust me at this point, don't you?
It would be the perfect plan to lead us into unfamiliar territory, to have me ambushed and take the money of this sale for yourself. So, who are you working with?
And he grabs him by the scruff.
Have some honor, and at least tell me before you decide to leave me for dead, you coward.
At this moment, Sandor and Grimdvik begin to realize that a hum and rumble has been growing for about a minute. But in the heat of their argument, they didn't catch it in time.
What trickery is this? Did you send an army to take me on, Sandor?
Grimdvik says this, walking into the center of the massive and mysterious tunnel.
Come, then!
He shouts. His voice echoes endlessly down the stretch of empty rock.
If you want to have me, you'll have to sacrifice a few of yourselves to have the satisfaction.
Grimdvik grows to an immense size and steadies his warhammer, ready for anything. But apparently not ready for anything. As the rumble becomes clearer and much stronger from underneath Grimdvik's feet, before finally a great purple worm burst from below, biting onto him from his feet up to his midsection, lifting him high into the air. Grimdvik screams in pain and frustration and begins slamming down his hammer on the head of the great beast.
Sandor! Sandor, do something!
Sandor readies himself, should the worm choose him as its next target. The worm instead slams Grimdvik, still holding him in his mouth, into the ground, grinding him along the jagged stone and doing a specialized sort of death roll. His body grinds into the floor of the stone tunnel until it finally flops in front of Sandor. Only the upper half of him remains. The purple worm continues burying deeper into the earth, apparently satisfied with the meal. Grimdvik's eyes look up at Sandor's with fear and shock, his body futilely gasping for air.
Droskor, we'll have you for this.
His body, or what remains, finally stops moving, but his eyes somehow stay fixed on Sandor still. Sandor takes a breath of relief and turns to look at the slaves. In his haste, he apparently casted a wall of force, not for himself, but for the slaves instead. One of the slaves steps up and prostrates before him.
Thank you, sir. Grimdvik told us we could be used as a sacrifice for the rest of us to make it to market. Why did you do this?
Sandor just kind of looks down at his hands and looks at these people, and in that moment, he genuinely does not know what to say as he begins to just unlock the chains, and he doesn't have words for them.
And from there, we fade out. And we see Sandor just staring into the abyss of this dark tunnel.
The alarm is already cast, right?
Yeah. And it'll last for, what, eight hours or something?
Yeah. He is going to begin making his way back.
So So you meet up with, who else was casting the ward? Was it Kezra or was it Ambrose?
I think Ambrose.
Yeah, I could cast it, so.
Okay. So if you see Sandor after you guys finish doing your castings, you can tell he's like kind of in his own head, probably.
Oh yeah. Are you okay there?
Seeing ghosts.
Tell me about it. I see him every day.
Yeah, it's a bit of a special case for you, though, isn't it?
Just a bit. But what do you think's down that hallway?
Anything and everything.
Wonderful belt of vagueness on that one.
That's the problem with this place down here. You literally never know.
Well, I suppose we should get back to some sort of civilization.
Let's go find more ghosts.
Wonderful.
You guys get back to the center of town. Tim, I assume that Garn would probably be getting the rune put on. It's obviously free of charge, but yeah. It does take time. Kezra, what are you doing while you guys are resting for the day?
I don't know. Like, Kezra has something he wants to spend his money on, but I think I need to talk to you about it later.
Okay.
So he's just kind of waiting for our next move. Maybe he's he's spending time in the rowdy bars looking for another fight to break out.
Sure, yeah. I will say that to that point, after the one like murder, things have not settled down. Well, they settled down, but now they're more tense. There's like this like empty tenseness to it because it's like somebody died because of it. So people aren't swinging as hard because now that they know that somebody might take it to that level, they've sort of like hung back.
That could kill people? And then it's just, I'm going, wow.
Who knew fists could kill?
So I mean, you know, there's some people arguing and like there's some tenseness in the air, but it's definitely not getting violent as much as it was in the past day or so. You do hear, however, that apparently a lot of the people that were in the Carpenters Guild have completely rejected the contracts with the local military, with a lot of the people that were associated with the local government, because Hammersong is in the local town guard. And so now all of the contracts that the Stonemason Guild have just completely dried up. Like they've rescinded all of that stuff. So now they're like, shit, now we gotta get we need somebody to fix stones, we need somebody to work this kind of stuff. So now there's like a bit of like a money political tension rather than just like the accusatory tension. So it's a very, very strange place to be right now.
I like to think Kezra's sitting in a bar like, why aren't you guys fighting? Come on!
That guy called you an asshole.
Are you gonna take that? No.
Yeah, I think Kezra's generally restless. Like, alright, we have found the Scarlet Triad here, and like he's solely focused on revenge. And so sitting around and waiting, he knows this is what we need to do. But you know, he's just trying not to think about it.
Yeah,
he knows we'll get to it, so he's just kind of killing time. He does that by drinking.
Okay. I know it. I think you guys had talked about meeting with the two other guild members who were named Akelda Hallrig. She was the smithing guild leader, and then I forget the other woman's name. But she was head of the Carpentry Guild. So I remember that you guys were thinking about talking to them, since Hammersong is completely tied up, Chisel Rock is arrested, and so all the guild leaders are kind of out doing their own thing, it seems.
Yeah, I know that we did, you know, talk about the guild members. I think because we found this like underground lair, I want to say that like we're kind of like wanting to go back down there. Okay. Like we're spending the day to like recoup. So maybe we could you know, pull on a thread while we're in town. But I don't think we're definitely not making any, like, commitments today, I don't think. So
okay.
I think Garn is willing to talk to folks, kind of see what else is going on. Like, more information, the better. I know, like, Garn talked to Frassen about, like, you know, who could we trust with the information that we have. I can't remember. Was that when he directed us to the smithing council member?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So he had told you that Kelda Hallrig, she was the one who had actually introduced you to the council in the first place.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so he does direct you guys to her. And because the leader of the smithing or the carpentry. Oh man, what was her name? Hold on. Her name was Aljoiner Tora Garnus. Garn. Oh my God. Her name comes up again.
Related to them all.
So she was the one who she had been noticing some issues with the wall itself because, you know, she works in carpentry, and so right. She was been hired to do a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, and
she
was the one that we checked out the wall.
Exactly, yeah. Right, and so she was the one that was kind of like, I'm seeing some issues, and she got, like, you know, kind of just like blown off on both. She was like, all right, thanks anyway. So she seems to be like genuinely worried about the safety of the city, so that's why you feel like you can trust her too.
Okay.
And we didn't pull on that thread of like the weird weakness we sensed under the wall, right? We ended up just finding that
Think that's what led us to.
That was the what was the monster called?
The Spurn Forged.
That's, I assumed that's what it was.
Was that? Go ahead.
I mean, we can go back to the wall. Maybe now that this great evil is destroyed, maybe to see if the resonance has changed. Garn would have no idea.
Well, yeah, it's true. So, I mean, if you guys want to go back and check that, if you want to roll me Arcana checks, either while you're in the forge or if you're looking at the wall or whatever, you can roll on that.
I roll well.
The wizard rolled well at Arcana, eh?
Yes, he did. Arcana research. Tim. 18 plus 23.
41. My gosh.
You feel as though that the presence of the Spurn Forged being undead and under the city has its presence alone was sort of disrupting the ward on the wall. And then the activity in the forge is what started to actually have an effect on, like, the groundwork.
Okay.
That makes sense.
So with that gone now, you're kind of like, okay, maybe they just need to sort of like update some of the stonework and stuff like that, and, you know, like start working on that. An issue now that the Stonemason Guild has pulled out of all that. But at least you know that, like, well, it's not going to get any worse, at least.
That's good. Man, that's such a cool story reason why the wards were acting up. Because they were doing their job, you know?
The ward's like, hey, there's something here. Come on.
There's a problem.
big undead. Maybe right down beneath here.
Someone?
Sandor, you can get a few of the low-level wizards to help you sort of, like, get the ward back in place and, you know, to put the resonance back into where it should be, and then it should be fine.
Then I think that's where I will be spending my day.
All right, so he's doing some ward repair.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kezra's drinking the day away.
Can we learn any more about the Temple of the All Gods?
Yeah.
Hey, did you hear Jess the bartender, maybe?
Yeah. Oh, the bartender.
Let me get to the tavern so I'm not listening to some weird, creepy underground stuff.
Man, this tavern's vibes, man.
Oh. Yeah, what's the deal with this place? You find a tavern that goes by the name of... Let's see.
The Stinky Sheep.
Oh.
the devilish onion.
That's better.
Hell yeah. That's yeah, where I'm ground.
It's the devilish to post up.
The devilish onion in. All their food is, of course, onions.
It's just onions and mushrooms. Onion.
No, no mushrooms. I hate them.
It's like a blooming onion, French onion soup, and an onion ale.
Onion sandwich, my favorite.
Oh, portobello burgers, you know?
No mushrooms.
What? Do you say mushrooms? Get the fuck out. Get the fuck out of this
place. The one place in the city you can't get mushrooms.
The one place we go to escape the mushrooms.
This place, we don't like crabs and we don't like mushrooms.
I would say this place probably makes a good killer liver and onions.
Liver and onions, there you go.
I've yet to eat one of those. I want to, though. I want to eat one day.
It's easy.
Yeah. So you go into the devilish onion. There's some smelly old dwarf there.
Yeah, I order just whatever's on tap.
The famous onion brew.
Yeah, whatever. Just as long as it's strong.
You know, if you get a blue moon, they put an orange on the side of the glass.
It's an onion ring.
It's an onion. Yeah, it's an onion ring.
Every time you pour a pint, it makes you cry.
I'm crying just thinking about it.
The guy at the counter helping you out. His name is Gruzin Underbrow.
Tell me, Gruzin, how many people?
Do you like onions?
Yeah, sure, whatever. I'll take it.
I like you.
How many people do you know venture outside the walls into Sagarok?
Only those with a real palate like to come in here and taste my fine onions. There's been a few that have come in, but it's mostly some of the other dwarves and locals.
My companions and I have... We're looking for a place called the Temple of the All Gods. It's not something that you can recall, can you? Anybody venturing in here having discovered anything out there like that? Or how much of that city is still mapped? Are there any relevant maps of that city?
I remember hearing some people talk about it, and apparently it's a hotspot for undead. I know that sounds ironic because of the whole city, but there was one group that came in and said that they got to the front gate, walked up and touched the handle, and one man was possessed and died right there on the spot.
Okay, so...
Did they put a bag on their hand before they...
Did they ever think of putting a bag on their hand?
No, I'll tell the next group to try that.
It's a flawless plan.
But apparently the curse of the undead is quite powerful in that place. My memory serves is that if all the gods are worshipped there, perhaps they're occupying that space as sort of a curse against the gods themselves, perhaps.
And do you know where it's located?
Don't have any maps myself, but perhaps I can ask around. When are you heading out there, adventurer?
Probably within the next few days. We're just waiting to tie up some loose ends here and prepare ourselves.
Understood. Well, if I happen upon a map maker, if I come across any adventurer that maybe has a cartographer, I'll make sure to ask if they have tried their luck at mapping any of it.
Great. That would be of great use. One more question.
Aye.
Is that onion vodka I see?
Oh, you want the good stuff. He pulls it off the shelf, and it's full. I mean, like, he does not touch this. And he goes, I knew you had good taste in you. Take this one on the house.
Oh, man. Nice. I leave him a whole gold for tip.
You like on your way out, you see Sandor walking back from the wall. Oh, God, you didn't drink there, did you?
Because it just goes, just like turns the bottle upside down.
Nope.
God. You're camping by yourself. That stuff makes your piss smell like turpentine.
You're not my mom. And then he just sprouts dragon wings and he flies up to a tall boulder.
No, but I feel sorry for that woman.
He smells a real oniony fart as he leaves.
Great, now he's going to sulk up there for hours.
Kesra sometimes gives like really big like Batman energy, you know, perching off a high tower's brooding.
Angst. Just so much angst.
Just up on the top of the Arcanarium, downing some onion vodka.
Where his parents killed by dragons or something.
I think of a dragon man.
I'm Dragon Man.
Oh God.
According to him, the stories is that the concentration of undead here in that temple specifically are like dangerously high.
Yeah, I'll relay that to you guys tomorrow after I sober up.
Sure, I'll just be tomorrow. In a couple days,
we'll see. We'll see how much I like this onion vodka. I'm gonna roll for it. Oh man, natural one. This thing does not sit well with me.
Oh, no. What did I tell you?
You find Kesra in jail the next day.
He's in jail. Everyone's keeping 15 feet away from him. They're just like, no, he reeks.
All the prisoners in the cells next to him are just like, can I please get a different cell? Please.
Leaking out of his pores.
One guy's like, I, it's not that bad. I don't know.
Yeah, you sick fuck.
That's just crazy old Maurice.
Oh, man, that first dragon breath spell is going to smell real good.
Oh my gosh, he had an extra d6 of damage and fear.
No, it's good. Poison damage. If they're living, it's going to be a fortitude save. Not be sickened.
All right, are we automatically going to the next day?
Oh, I think Ambrose and Garn wanted to talk to the wall person, because you're busy doing wards, John. Kesra is moody and ending up in jail. So I think Ambrose and I would go to the Carpenter Guild.
Yeah,
person.
At least trying to convince whatever they were.
So. Yeah.
Right. So that is a good thing, because if you guys had... did that, you did not go back to her, so she actually has something for you.
Ambrose, I'm feeling a little bit shaken up after our experience down in the forge. Almost dying does that to a man. Would you mind taking point on this? I just don't think I'm as well composed as I once was.
Oh, well, see what I can do. And he'll kind of try to warm back up into his Dwarvish. Just trying. Just kind of get that gravel in the back of his throat first. How's this?
yes. It sounds as grating as rock against rock, and as smooth as the clay underneath.
Perfect.
Yes,
perfect.
The locals love it when you comically do their accent back at them.
Well, would you prefer high pitched?
Hello.
Those are called gnomes.
But what exactly are we asking them, though? I mean,
I think we're giving a report, right?
Of everything that we
findings on the wall.
Of the wall and everything underneath?
Well, I don't know about that. I think that maybe we'll see if she pokes around.
Because, I mean, that's something that we could be like, well, we found some... issues around the wall. There were some, what was he say, the frequencies were off, whatever. But mm-hmm. they seem to have corrected. Like, I mean, it's just going to be suspicious no matter what.
Yeah, I think Sandor's working on the ward, and there needs to be some, like, structural repairs to the wall.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. That's my recollection.
And the woman's name, again?
She was Aljoiner... what's her name? Aljoiner, what's her name?
What's her name?
Aljoiner Garnus.
That's right, Garnus. Related.
Garnus.
Okay. So we approach with Garn being right by his side, at least, to correct him, if anything.
So you go in, and she's whittling away at something, and you can see that she's got some students that are, like, busy planing wood. And she just goes, I see you all lived. I pray that everything is well. I heard that there was a commotion down at Frastin's.
Oh, just a bit. It's gotten taken care of, at least. We found some issues and resolved them, which actually we're coming to you to see if you can assist us with a couple things as well.
Please, the wall seems to be doing better. I saw that that Sandor was heading that up. Have you seen the Archmage? He has seemingly disappeared. Not unusual, but just curious.
Oh, well, from the short time I've ever talked with him, he seemed like the type to jump off and bury his head into something else.
Oh, true. Very well. What's the status on the wall?
Well, seems that there were some frequency issues, but as you mentioned, Sandor is currently working on them right now. But there is still some damage that needs to be fixed. And we were curious...
Damage?
Yes.
From... did something happen to the wall that I'm unaware of?
Well, besides... What was it? Oh, yes, wasn't there the structural integrity, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes, there's actually some structural integrity that is causing a bit of concern.
I knew it. Chisel Rock, that bone... Well, no, he was arrested. I know not for what, but I assume he had something to do with this?
Well, whatever he did or didn't do, per se... there's currently no one helping to assist with this, so... And we think the wall would be priority. And right now, you seem like the best bet to assist in such an endeavor.
Tell me what needs to happen. My eyes cannot find it, and I'm glad I got a fresh pair of yours to take a look.
And I guess he will go and identify where they were walking by before... And you said that there was, like, a little bit of structure kind of going, like, you know, when you're, like, walking and you're like, uh-oh, something's off.
Yeah, there's a slight warp to, like, a floorboard or something like that kind of thing.
Yeah. So he'll identify a couple of things like that. He goes, yes, it just seems like when you're stepping in certain situations, certain places, you kind of sink a little bit lower and some are bulged out in the wrong ways. Which could be nothing, or could lead into a catastrophic failure. So...
Oh, well. Well, with the stonemasons out of not working anymore, I will do my best to add some supports here. I'll bring a team down to reinforce this one spot. But you've done good work. Hopefully we can resolve the whole thing and put somebody else in Chisel Rock's place on the guild and perhaps restore order there, but... for now, you've given us work, you've identified something, and therefore you deserve this.
Sure.
And she hands over a rune.
Ooh.
Why? Thank you.
Another holy rune.
Why, thank you. I do not know what this is. check on that, I guess.
Yep. Just give me a... whatever. I think whatever your highest one would be.
For me, it would actually be occultism, so...
Yeah, that'll work. As long as it's magic-y.
It's magic-y. Okay, not bad. 29.
Yes. So, this is a fortification rune. Fortification rune wards against the deadliest attacks. Each time you're critically hit while wearing the etched armor, attempt a DC 17 flat check. On a success, it becomes a normal hit.
Oh, wait, that's just my feet.
I know.
That's the feet.
Yeah. That's Sandor's feet, yeah.
Dude, that's awesome.
Is it a number of times per day? Just literally every single time.
Each time you're critically hit.
Oh,
wow.
That's awesome.
Well, yes.
That's awesome.
Wow. Especially for all of us that wear armor.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing.
Tim's making out like a fucking bandit this arc.
on a success, it becomes a normal hit.
Yeah. Right.
Now, however, the downside to this. The property thickens the armor, increasing its bulk by one, and strength modifier required to wear it. It's penalty by one.
Oh, that's so hard.
Okay, I was going to say, so...
I have
a
plus five to strength. I'll be all right.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you'll be all right then. But yeah, increasing your bulk by one might matter. I know that, like, dwarves in, like, the old versions, they had a thing where, like, they couldn't become encumbered, but their movement speed never changed. So, like, it was kind of a trade-off, so I don't know if they have a similar thing.
There's
in
an ancestry
fee now.
Or called an iron.
Oh, it's such a
that's
good
what
feed.
It is. Yeah. Yeah, that's the one.
Okay, that's awesome. Well,
yeah,
appreciate yeah, that's actually even harder to kill.
Actually, that's what I have. I have unburdened iron.
Oh
there it is.
That's awesome.
Well, I believe this will be a great boon to our journeys. Thank you.
Oh, no, thank you. With this, we can protect ourselves against out there. And she points just into the
void.
Yeah. The void that is the city of Sagarok. I mean,
you just have to attack the darkness.
Now tell me, you mentioned that there might be a line of succession for Chiselrock. Do you know who might be tapped for the number two? As the number two?
No, I'm hoping that there is. Who knows how long this could take, and with so many council members, it takes so long for us to deliberate, and I think one of them just went on vacation. It's very, very troubling. Well,
actually, now that you bring that up, what issue do you have with Chiselrock?
He's supposed to be manning the wall. He's in the guard, and he's here to keep this stone wall proper. And she goes to like kind of like tap it, but then she kind of like maybe not. Like hearing about the structural stuff. And she just says, if it is his job to make this thing as structurally sound to withstand whatever the city of Sagarok might throw at us, but he didn't seem concerned when I brought any issues I had, and then to see he's arrested, and as far as I'm aware, it's some sort of corruption. The man didn't seem dedicated to protecting his people like the rest of us.
Especially in this case, where everyone needs to be hands on deck constantly.
At all times.
So if it came to a deliberation, you think you would vote against Chiselrock to keep him locked up, would you?
I want someone that has this city's best interest at heart. If his heart is elsewhere, then he needs to go where that is.
I definitely agree with that type of deliberation, at least. But
if only I could find that wizard.
Why do you need the wizard?
What, because he helps with these things, and he's pointing out the ward that Sandor's currently helping with.
Oh, no worries. Sandor is a trusted number two. He'll have patched up in no time, I'm sure.
Well, I trust you all. You've helped me immensely. Let me go get a team, and we'll see what we can do about reinforcing this spot here.
Before you go, have you had any of your guild suddenly take vacations, leave unexplainably, not show up for shifts, that sort of thing?
Yes, but it's politics, as you know. But
It hasn't been too much of a problem. We just take recess and reconvene at another time. And
No, not the council. I'm talking about those within your guild. Have you had a lot of people disappear for long periods of time and show up without any really good reason?
No, none that are unexplainable, for instance. Most of the time it's, people were sick, they had a wedding to go to, they got too drunk.
Yes, all very valid reasons. Well, be on your lookout. There's a blight in this city that has been fostering and festering, rather. And we think that some in the guard might have fallen to it. You know, those sports gambling pits, they're a trap for many.
Oh, you mean Harvey's? I love that place.
Not you too.
It's simply because you lost Gone. Just don't keep the cards to your chest.
Look, I was on a hot streak, and I really thought I could put all of it on black, but... Anyways, the blight upon this city, that's all I'll say about that.
I'm afraid I'll have to agree with you. If the man that heads this wall was arrested for corruption, I'm scared to think of how deep it goes. But for now, I can only do what I can.
Indeed. That's all we can do, is do what we can.
Yes. Okay, bye. Oh.
Okay. So as we're walking,
thanks
as we're
for
walking
the
away,
and you're like flicking it.
That Ambrose, it seems that the corruption hasn't quite spread to that guild, at least. No. Not like in Hammersong's fold, where we have guards disappearing for months. Remember the brother, the one that Kezra was comforting?
Oh, yes. Yes, a gentle heart, that one. But yes. It seems, but I don't know, I'm particular about what they were talking about Chisel Rock, that he seemed distracted.
Yes. It's
kind of odd for one that, is manning a giant wall, though, against the undead. But...
Alright. I think it's... In my mind, it's rather clear that he has connections to the Triad. Whether or not it can be proved in a court of his peers is another question. We don't have any hard evidence of this, but it is certainly seeming that way.
Yes, and that is the issue, is no proof. And that means no accusations to be made, and that would also cause other issues to form. Arguments. It could end in a quick civil war all of a sudden.
I care not for that litigation or the quarrels between council members. I only care that Scarlet Triad is brought to justice.
Oh, definitely.
I've seen the hunger in your eyes, Ambrose. I've seen the delight you take in slaying them.
I would hardly call it exact delight, but there is a bit of, dare I say, I guess plain joy of it, that they don't get to interfere with anyone else's lives. But to be honest, I'm actually looking for a particular one, which they could be here or not.
A particular member of the Triad, you say?
Yes.
Do you have a name? Any defining physical features?
Only one. That, no name. But he had two scars over his eye. I just remember that face that night when my house was attacked. And unfortunately in my rage, as well as adapting to everything else, with how I am... And it's just kind of like with the summoner whole thing, I was lost myself to rage, and I wish I could question that woman first. But so be it.
Indeed. We all have things and actions we wish could be undone or rethought or redone. But if they were attacking a noble house such as yours, they wouldn't send just anyone to do it. I feel quite confident that this person is deep in the organization, and I'm sure we will come across them soon. Or someone who knows something. These Scarlet Triad, they are a nasty bunch. They're ultimately motivated by coin and by power. I'm sure that they will turn on each other, as they all do. These organizations, they only can coalesce and stay together as long as the person who holds the power holds their fear as well.
And that is the trick of it, though. Depending on how such a system works, that you see how they've infiltrated this entire city in some way. How many more arms of them, at least, are there? They're just spread out. As you mentioned, because I'm pretty sure Karn did mention this to him, about the whole... He was taken from, what, Taldor?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So all the way from Taldor. And then I was in Chiliax when they attacked me. They're spread all over.
And then I think I heard when Kezra was at his cups one night talking about them being all the way in the Mwangi Expanse, or some splinter cell of them at least. They truly are a global organization.
Yes, so I don't think it's just going to be simple as that. There's probably leaders upon leaders. If you actually want to create any organization, and he's just trying to think through his head, like, in any sense of, like, power, nobility, and stuff like that, he goes, oh, there's stages to this. But the problem is trying to figure out who is the head of it.
Yes.
But at this case, we're just trying to have to root out what we can. It's just tensing about this, and it's like Ambrose's body, like every so often, like when he talks, it's like either there's a smile or a frown. It's just he can't keep a solid emotion right now, because it's like something else in his head is like rage, and then something else is just mournful.
Yeah.
So yes. So by the way, this rune.
Oh yes.
Unfortunately, cannot use it, as far as I know.
Well, if you don't mind, I think it'll take great use of it. Thank you very much.
I hold it above your head, like high up.
Yeah.
Reach for it.
Yeah.
Gotta warn
it. Come on.
Because the only tactical armor I have is not really armor. It's like the. What, a wandering cloak or whatever in hell it is? It's like the...
Can it not accept runes?
I think it could. Just because it would pass on to my summon, my Eidolon as well.
That's the thing, like, if your Eidolon had a chance to negate any crit...
Yeah, that's why I'm kind of like...
Because
you got quite a bit of armor, so I have to look...
It needs to be S-John to medium or heavy armor.
Damn it.
Yep.
Useless, and I smash it into the ground.
Yeah, and I think with Eidolons you have to give them like the feats in order to like use actual weapons and armor and stuff like that. So
yeah, I have to block, but yeah, so this is so this is yours. Another powerful artifact. For you.
I will take it on loan. In case anyone else has any need for it, I will gladly share in the bounty. I feel a great responsibility accepting all of these incredible gifts. I will be sure to put them to good use.
If any of you spellcasters ever feel like wearing full plate, I'll gladly share my bounty.
I know, like, I got a new weapon, a new shield, and a buff to my armor. Like, it.
But we're like
living the dream.
Do you remember back when we were playing Sticky Business and like all the gear went to Tim too?
Oh yeah,
because
gear magnet.
There were three casters. Jed was the only other melee, but barbarian. He had a two handed sword,
and I was a monk, so I didn't wear anything or use any weapons.
Right? Yeah. So it's like everything that I gave, it was just like, oh, it goes right to Tim.
Yeah,
it goes right to Tim.
Yeah.
It's like he's
it was the only logical choice. But...
Jeremy Wave.
No, it's like he read this adventure, and that's why he's getting all this.
I'm not beating the accusations anytime.
Yeah. I will totally play Dr. Brick again in some game that we play. He was so much fun.
Oh,
a level 13 Dr. Yep. Brick, my god.
Like the doctor's visitation just so broken, and he climbed.
Yep.
With like one hand.
Dude was also broken with combat the action climbing. Economy.
Yeah.
Haste him. Oh man.
What was that?
Never see him again.
Move. Doctor's visitation. Move again.
Flurry of blows.
God, there was just so many Dora the Explorer band-aids. I mean, they would be moving up the Gauls bandages at that point.
I know, right?
So I guess I'm turning in my armor to get a rune put on it.
Yes. So, how do you guys feel about? I mean, if you guys are just going to hang out and rest, if there's any shopping you want to do, just to like prep for whatever is up ahead.
I think that should be kind of an off-air thing as far as like,
I was going to say. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Is that maybe do that off-air and just show up next class. With whatever you get.
It'll just be healing potions, I guarantee it.
Of course, yeah. Says the party with no healer.
Yep.
Okay, if you guys are ready, we'll take a little peek. We'll take a little dip into this tunnel.
Oh shit! So there it is.
Oh, I love it. Just like the next day, like, oh wait, before we head out, I have a few places I need to stop by. Like, just gets this, black warhammer that's just glowing with like a force and like the holy light. And then he dons this like dawn silver armor that has a new rune edge to into it, and his like molten looking reformed shield. And he's just like this little dwarf. All right, I'm ready.
and just for the hell of it too, because I know Kazro is drinking and stuff like that. Ambrose will not be drinking, but he will be going to bars. But he will be kind of playing music to kind of soothe the mood a little bit.
Aww.
Okay.
Like,
all right.
Not like any happy jaunty stuff, but like if you're trying to compare like with powerful emotions, you would go like anger and stuff. But like something a little bit more somber to calm people down. And he will just do that. So, I mean, like, he could do a performance check, but, I mean...
Yeah, go ahead and do that. Let's see if you're... however many days you take, let's see how you sort of affect the vibe of the city.
See how many people's lives you can save through the power of music.
The power of rock.
I wanna rock. Man, just, plus 18 to do it, so... it's 34.
Dang.
So not bad.
Okay. Yeah. When something starts to get heated, you can see some tensions are getting a little high. You kind of like change the tone, and it seems to work. It seems to kind of bring people down. You of course have to do this by playing the Oblivion
soundtrack. Oh yeah, definitely.
but yeah, it works every time.
They're like, I knew this. Nostalgia overflows.
All right. So you guys go back down to the forge eventually.
Mm-hmm. Did the alarm trip at all?
It did not. No alarm tripped at all. Now, when you go down, you go to the tunnel. I believe Luca usually has a torch, and Kezra, I think you had one, yes. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. You start walking down this tunnel, and it can get pretty... This is pretty, like, tight in certain places, and it winds down and back and forth. And it's clearly just an unworked cave tunnel, right? Or if it was dug, it was dug very, very shoddily. But at a certain point, your torches need to be, like, relit. Because they go out. Because you start walking, and it seems to go on for miles. And, like, the torch starts to go out, and you're like, what the hell? You have to, like, dip it in the oil again and, like, relight it. Like, you're like, how far does this go? So you walk for, you know, the however many miles it takes. And mind you, it's winding. And so sometimes you're like, oh, wait, we should go back. You know, like, this is a dead end. And, you know.
Do we have, like, any idea, like, a cardinal direction that we're, like, going in?
Make me a perception or survival. It will be difficult.
We know what direction the cardinal's going.
Jake, I will say too, I also prepared light as well.
Nice.
Just okay. Because, okay. Yeah. You know, with how dark everything is, and I misread yes. Illuminate, I might be prepared.
I thought you were going to say, I prepared no direction.
I prepared no direction. I mean, shit. Could have done that, but didn't.
All right, Black Oak Workshop. Dice or treasure? I got a 28 in survival.
Okay.
28 perception.
Okay.
Come on.
31 in perception.
Ooh.
Okay.
All right, Sandor, let's hear it.
My survival's not terrible.
With a 19 on the die, means the two numbers I've rolled tonight are an 18 and a 19.
Can always rely on John to roll rocks.
Yep.
Tim, 19 plus 19.
Oh, 38. Yeah,
my brain's blanking there for a second.
38. Makes sense.
You. Yeah, yeah. The Hringar in you tells you that, like, you're going one direction, and then eventually you're like, maybe we're going west a little bit, but it feels like we're maybe going north, and then it starts to wind another way, and you're like, okay, well, all right. But eventually you sort of tune in on something because you realize that you're heading north for miles at one point.
North?
And then that's when you see light at the end.
Oh. Cut the torch.
Let me bring you over to the map.
Cut the torch.
Marindo, I don't trust light.
But north is where the city is. Saga Rock! Da, 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 da. Saga Rock!
I'm going to bring you over into this place. Oh, it's dark. Hold on.
I just see darkness.
Just see darkness.
I can see sense. Using second, my right? All that I see. Dwarf eyes.
There, I gave Luca a torch. Let me give Kezra a torch. And then...
Oh, no, I have a wayfinder.
Oh, well, still. It works the same anyway. Okay. And so you come up against a... it's a large metal door, and the light that you saw as you were approaching, it was like sort of the cracks in like the door frame, where like, you know, the door's here, but you can still see like some light coming behind it, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's that. But you come up to it, and it's enough that with your light on it, you can see that this is just a large metal door. Looks like it weighs hundreds of pounds. Cool.
Should we put our ears up to it to see what we can hear?
Sure.
Yeah.
Nice thing about a big door, blocks a lot of sound. Oh. Wait, yep. No, that's bad actually for us.
Yeah.
But it's a good bit tick.
Do a perception check on that door to see, is this the door that was mentioned that like killed people or something?
No, that was the door to the Temple of the All Gods.
Okay. You see a door in a cave. A little suspicious, gotta say.
Right. All doors look alike.
You always gotta be suspicious.
I did get a 37 on listening.
Okay. Anybody higher?
I will roll.
Nope.
I got a 30.
Okay. Give it to you, Tim. So when you put your ear up to the door, or even to the crack that you can sort of see your see the light coming out of, you can hear what sounds like the faint sound of like heat. You know what I mean? Like fire and heat, that sort of like the like low rumble of it, right? But you also hear what sounds like people fighting, but that doesn't sound angry. And I was like, come on. Try again, try again. Ah, you fool, you fell for it. Come on, I got two gold on you, come on.
Like,
Garn, I know it sounds like people are betting in there, but you don't have to.
Garn turns around and is like, there's sports betting going in there, I know it. I know it. I can make all the money I lost back in Kosovo. Like,
10 gold on this man. You're like, oh shit, what?
Unrelated, Kezra, I would like to make a small loan from you if possible. I know you're just teeming with gold. I smell it.
I have so much goddamn gold.
You do. You have like 3,000 in cash.
I do. I finally have found something I want to spend it on, though, so.
What do you think?
Sports betting,
yes. A measly 100 gold. If I bet it all, I think I could get it all back and then some. You'd get a split it 50-50.
I think we know how Garn ended up enslaved.
So the dwarf that just got 3 of the most powerful items we've ever found is asking for more.
Well, you see, my wealth is very non-liquid.
That's just what billionaires say.
Have it all tied up in stocks. And
you can't tax it. You can't tax it. It's tied up in stocks, man.
Stocks and assets.
Magical items.
Wealth is tied up in owning all the homes.
Which one of you opens the door?
I think Garn would. He's the front line after all.
Okay. I want you to go ahead and open the door.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Wait, I'm on the wrong tab. Here we go.
Oh.
Clicking on the door. Okay, I don't really see anything.
Okay. Let me see if you... Oh, hold on. That's because of the...
Yeah?
Yeah. Pre-made stuff. Yeah. Hold on.
Yeah. If I go back and forth, I see what looks to be like a lava pit. I'm just gonna go in.
Okay.
Ah! Sorry.
You go into this room, and this room is dimly lit, the sole source of light coming from below a metal grate at the center of the room. The ceiling rises to a height of 30 feet above, with shelves stacked with supplies sit against the walls. A flight of stone stairs leads upward to the northeast. When you opened the door, you saw 4 figures standing in this room.
Shit.
They are all Scarlet Triad agents. They were clearly dueling each other for sport before you walked in.
I'll put 10 gold on the one on the left.
What? Kill him!
I just want a sport bet.
You don't want my money?
I'll see you guys next time.
God damn it, Gord.
Next time on DPS, the gang gambles.
Gord loses it all.
Gord loses it all.
What do you mean you invested in a bunch of sweatshops, Gord?